I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Andrew Piper joins me now. He's the author of a new page-turning mystery that's been described as complex and compulsive. It's called The Killing Circle. Patrick Rush is a literary journalist who's demoted to writing about television in a national newspaper. He aspires to write a novel. He joins a writing circle hoping to flesh out a story, but along with raising a child without a wife who's died, there's the Sandman, a serial killer let loose on the streets of Toronto, who also features in one of the stories shared in the writing circle. Andrew Piper's first novel, Lost Girls, was a critical and best-selling hit at home and abroad, as was his subsequent novels, The Trade Mission and The Wildfire Season. Andrew Piper is his website. AndrewPiper.com is his website. That's Piper with a Y. The book, published by Doubleday, retails for $32.95. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Andrew Piper. Good morning, Mr. Piper.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
I suppose you don't regret practicing law.
No. The short answer is no. I regret going to law school in the first place, but I have no regrets saying goodbye to that life.
Did you always write?
Yes. As soon as I could write, I remember taking, as we all did in school, handwriting class, and, having to write within those the sort of treble clef lines, and being fascinated just by the act of writing initially, and then stories and storytelling, and so from as soon as I could write, I've always been writing. I never presumed that I could make a living at it. That's been a more recent development, but I always had a passion for it.
Why did you go into law?
Because I assumed that you couldn't make a living writing fiction, and I had a master's degree in English literature, and was looking at that crossroads of, the academy. Do I go and do a PhD and become a specialist in a very small field, or do I get a more mainstream job? And that's where the decision to go to law school came from. It was strictly practical, and you have to do something for a living.
Do you negotiate your own deals?
No, thankfully not. I have an agent, agents, who take care of that, and the contracts. I've been out of law school for over 10 years, and now, if I ever had to really read a contract, or if there was a dispute of any kind, I'd have to hire a lawyer. I wouldn't trust myself.
One of the things that struck me about Patrick was, I guess I'm thinking about the events of recent summer where book reviews in the country's papers have been cut back.
Mm-hmm.
The people were hysterical when the Globe and Mail book review section went missing for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
As a writer, how important are reviews, and do you pay attention to them? And I guess beyond that, as a writer in general, book reviews, they serve a sort of purpose, don't they?
I think they do. I think a lot of, as you've just touched on, I think a lot of things are happening in the book review world. The book review pages are of course shrinking. I think with that, sadly enough, I do sense, even though over the last 12 or so years I've been publishing books, I have noticed that the influence of book reviews has also shrunk. I think that book reviews don't drive public interest or sales as much as they once did. Having said that, though, I think reviews are crucial because they are, one of the only ways we have of kind of evaluating the work in a hopefully responsible and public way. And I don't even think that, the blogosphere is, while an essential complement to more, quote, official newspaper reviews, I don't think it fully replaces that function. So it's a sad development to see the review pages shrink, but I think more importantly, what saddens and worries me is the shrinking, their shrinking influence on public discourse.
Did you find as well that there's a trend of people wanting to write, despite the fact that there is the internet and so on, that people still want to write a novel?
Yeah, I think that's the paradox that initially formed the premise for my writing The Killing Circle was. Even though there are all sorts of indications that we are reading less we are reviewing less, and we are, the place of books is indisputably shrinking relative to these other aspects of the entertainment juggernaut, like movies and other sort of more popular forms. People want to write more. There are more night courses, workshops, university courses, MFA programs in creative writing than there were, you know, 5 years or even last year. It seems to be this booming cottage industry, even in the face of writing's kind of shrinking importance in general society. I can't explain that. I think it might have to do with the emphasis on self-expression, the kind of Oprah-esque, just be yourself and great things will follow mantra. I don't know, but it is a puzzling phenomenon.
As a writer, is that a good thing, though?
I don't think it's harmful. I don't think people wanting to write is harmful in itself. It certainly gives rise to more opportunities to teach for professional writers. There's more invitations to, hey, you know, will you teach this course in writing? Invitations that I, you know, try my best to decline because I enjoy teaching, but it takes up a lot of energy. So I don't think there's any harm in it. I hope it's not ultimately misleading to the people that sign up for these courses, that it isn't the same as signing up for a paramedics license or a real estate license or a law degree. There isn't a job waiting for you on the other side. So the professional opportunities are no greater now than they ever have been. I hope people understand that.
In my introduction to this interview, I called your book a mystery. I suppose it isn't, or is it?
It's part, what my books are has always been an ongoing challenge. And I initially, when I was first publishing the novels with Lost Girls, would bristle at words like thriller or mystery. And now I'm a lot more comfortable with those words just because, well, I can't stop them. And secondly, I do appreciate that they at least partly apply. I think, The Killing Circle is, yes, it's part mystery, it's part thriller. I think it's part psychological study, and it's part satire, it's part social criticism. At the end of the day, I think it's just a novel, it's just a book, but I certainly hope it has those good aspects, good side effects of a thriller or mystery. That is, it grabs you and won't let go.
Do you find that you like reading these sorts of books yourself, like these thrillers, mysteries, or satirical books?
It's funny, not too much. I mean, I have pretty broad tastes in literature, so I don't, I'm not a snob. I'll pick up whatever seems interesting to me. So right now I am reading, I guess what might be classified as a murder mystery, but no, generally I'm not, deep into that world. The fact that my books have aspects of mystery or thriller is, I think, just incidental.
As a writer, do you find that you read a lot, read more perhaps than the average person?
I think I probably read more than the average, but not nearly as much as I'd like to, for, a number of reasons. The world and life keeps on getting in the way, as you know, and when I'm in the middle of a book, I find reading can sometimes be a little bit distracting, especially if I'm reading something that is anywhere near the topic or concerns I'm writing about. So I've had to become more constrained in how and what I read. But it's still essential to carve out that time. I mean, it's the only way you can stay fresh, I think, is seeing what other people are doing.
The review in Publishers Weekly called the book ambitious. When you set out to when you start the book out, do you seek to be ambitious?
I think not explicitly, but I'm always trying to do something that interests me. I'm always trying to push myself further to both straddle these lines that we've been talking about, the literary, the satirical, and at the same time, the page-turning, the suspenseful. I'm trying to test how far a book that does both of those things can go. Can a book be an entertainment, a page-turner, and at the same time be smart and contain ideas and provoke? That, generally generally, I think, is the challenge. So I'm always trying to do that in a different way and to tell the story in a different way, play with time and play with narrative. But not to impress reviewers, really, but to test myself.
Some have already commented about the book that you're calling out of the Canlit establishment. Patrick, in the book, describes it as having a closed door favoring the few. How much of that do you agree with?
Well, I think on that particular point, the narrowness of institutional Canlit, and by institutional I mean, Giller-endorsed prize list, CBC Reads literature, I think it does suffer from a narrowness of view, and even to some extent prejudice against books that do something outside of what we normally associate with the conventional Canlit novel. Which is a long way of saying I'd like to see the idea of Canlit widened, not replaced, not overthrown. I'm not a revolutionary. I just like to see different kinds of books that find their way into that mainstream. So thrillers on the one hand, and just more popular forms generally, and different kinds of storytelling as opposed to the more, precious or somber or studied modes that we usually see.
Was this book submitted for the Giller?
I don't actually know that. I presume it was, but I honestly don't know.
See, I don't read fiction.
Okay.
But we have a lot of fiction writers on, so I've always been fascinated by the politics of prizes and that sort, and that's why I sort of found your commentary on it in the book interesting.
Right.
Have you seen the long list that came out this morning?
I glimpsed it online this morning, yeah.
Well, what do you think of the books that are there? Do they fit into the sort of stuff that Patrick was talking about in the book?
Well, I think it certainly would have been a more interesting list if the Killing Circle was on it.
Absolutely, right.
To be fair, I haven't read most, if any, of the books on the long list, so I can't really comment in particular terms to the books. But just to sort of glimpsing the names, certainly it feels like a very familiar list. It feels like if you were to challenge a computer to generate the Giller long list based on names that have appeared before and topics and types of books that have appeared before, it would have generated the list that we have today.
Do you see yourself in Patrick Rush?
Fortunately, not much, no. Patrick's quite different from me in many ways. I mean, I'm not nearly as unhappy as he is, and I don't feel nearly as unrequited in my desire to write. I mean, I'm able to do it happily and for a living, and I think reasonably well, unlike Patrick. And I make up my own stuff. I don't steal stories, unlike Patrick, fatally. But I do share, I think I could have a drink or drinks with Patrick and we'd have a laugh.
This desire to write that he has, is this something that you'd felt early on, perhaps?
Oh, yes. I always, like Patrick too, yes, right from the get-go, when I was a reader, I always was daydreaming about being a writer, being a published author. It was for me, that was my fantasy. I didn't have the wanting to be an astronaut or fireman that other kids had. I always wanted to be a published writer. I always thought that would be the greatest thing.
I've never been to Toronto, and I'm always fascinated whenever I read about Toronto. In one reviewer mentioned regarding the Killing Circle, your descriptions of it as a place that's opaque and inhospitable. You live there.
Yes.
Do you still feel that way?
No, I actually like it. It's interesting. The Toronto of the Killing Circle is not, objectively the Toronto that I live in. Although it is recognizable, it's a real place. I wanted to ground this, dark story in the real. It's a Toronto seen through the prism, a darker color of the prism. And it's a Toronto that has been pushed to its more paranoid, fearful extremes. But I think the vein that I'm tapping into in the Killing Circle is real, and that is, it's a city that is almost dangerously ambitious and competitive, and people are, there's so much opportunity there potentially, but not enough opportunity to satisfy all. And that feels, to my mind, more recently, growing more acute, that sense of competitiveness.
How would you describe Vancouver?
Well, certainly the weather-wise, since I've been here, this particular trip has been fantastic. I've just been wandering around in this sun-drunk state. But I like Vancouver, actually. I mean, if a gun was put to my head, or you wouldn't even need a gun, if I was asked nicely to, you know, leave Toronto, this would be my first choice.
Your previous books are described as in development, and I guess they're being considered for motion pictures, are they?
Yes, three of the four novels are currently under option with people writing scripts. Yes,
and you're working on one of them. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, Lost Girls. Yeah.
What's that process like? Is it creative at all?
Oh yeah, it's actually really great. I think it would turn a lot on the people you're working with, the producers you're working with. I could imagine it being an awful experience if your vision of the project differed from the people who are writing the checks. In the case of Lost Girls, the vision is shared, so it's been a very happy process. I actually quite like screenwriting. I would never want to do it, you know, exclusively for a living, but I like the speed of it. I like being able to once you devise the idea and outline it, the writing of it happens very quickly and furiously, and I find that exciting.
And is it as glamorous as we tend to think movies are?
No.
I guess the screenwriting part not, right?
No, not really. I mean, the one advantage it has over novel writing is that it gets you out of the house once in a while. I mean, you have to go to meetings sometimes, and sometimes there's a, you know, everyone has a sandwich and a coffee, and they talk about stuff in the outside world, and so I work at home and I work alone, so I appreciate a little water cooler banter. It's social.
Tell me about working at home. Do you have certain hours that you can work in a day, or do you write just whenever you get the chance?
I pretty much try to keep it, you know, the writing day, you know, 9 to 5, or at least in my case, kind of 9 till 3. And do most of the work in the morning because I find that's just when I'm most fresh and less stupid. So, you know, Monday to Friday, most of the mornings, and I sort of steal note-taking if I'm walking the dog and or those kind of in-between tasks. I bring a dictaphone with me and record ideas or funny things. But it's a pretty regular job-like schedule.
And are you working on something all the time?
Pretty much, yeah. There's something always on the go, and there's, you know, with the screenwriting as well now and a couple of other projects that aren't book-related, there's always something on the go. There's a lot of juggling to be done, and I kind of like that. I like being able to kind of switch it up, but eventually, soon, I'm going to have to clear the deck of all that stuff because I want to get, you know, fully involved in the next book.
And may I ask what the next book will be about?
Yeah, it's totally different again, but it's the premise is a haunted house story for grown-ups, or at least a haunted house story without ghosts. I grew up in a smallish town, and we had, as I think most small towns, a house that was abandoned that everyone made up stories about. And so it's an adult story of adults revisiting their childhood and the things that may or may not have happened in a haunted house.
Well, Andrew, we'll await that, but until then, we'll read this book. Congratulations on it. Continued good luck with it.
Thanks very much.
The book is called The Killing Circle, published by Doubleday, 3295. AndrewPiper.com is the website. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Flander.